We're here to worship the Lord, right? Amen. The Lord's given us a day to do so. And we praise his name for it. It is his gift and his blessing unto us to direct us into what we need. Why don't we do that on Tuesday morning? Why don't we meet together to worship the Lord Tuesday morning? Maybe Thursday would be better. Well, the Lord ordained in the beginning that the seventh day, you and I know it is Saturday, was to be the day of rest, right? It was different than the other 6 days that the Lord created. And we know the Lord wasn't tired, was he? Did the Lord get tired creating? He didn't get tired creating, did he? But he left an example unto us that there's a day of difference. And then with Israel, what the Lord did with that day, a day that he said, you know, there should be no servile work. That's using Bible language. It's different than the other 6 days. With the nation of Israel, he made that very plain and clear that that was his day, a day to be hallowed. So it was a day to be made holy and different. And then the Lord, in his order of service that he gave unto the Jews, unto the nation of Israel, he had things for them to do on that day that were different than other days. And if you and I could talk to the priests, we would find out that it wasn't too much a day of rest for them, but it was the Lord's day. It became more so the Lord's day with Israel. It was a day of difference. But then something happened, didn't it? Time went on for hundreds of years, and the Son of God became a man. The Son of God became a man and born of Mary by the Spirit of God, God the Father being his Father, the Son of Man, the Son of God, come in the flesh. And you know what? He acknowledged and honored and hallowed that seventh day, Saturday, all the days of his life. He did that. But we know that Scripture tells us ultimately he went to the cross of Calvary willingly. He said to that end he was born. And there he suffered for his people's sins, being tried in a mock trial, being forsaken of all. He was rejected of all. He was falsely accused. But he went as a lamb is led to the slaughter. He didn't open up his mouth. And he gave himself on the cross of Calvary, and there he died. When all things were accomplished, the Scripture says, he died. And he yielded up the ghost. He gave up the ghost, as we'll read. And he died, and he was taken by Joseph of Arimathea and Nicodemus, and they took him and put him in Joseph's tomb. And he laid there for 3 days and three nights. And understand, as the Lord Jesus, as his body, lay there 3 days and three nights, there wasn't any rigor mortis that set in. There wasn't any decomposition that even started. But after 3 days and three nights, you know what happened? He took his life back again, and he rose from the dead. And by the accounts that we see of the Gospels, during that day, that first day of the week, he began to appear to his disciples, right? We have appearing to Mary Magdalene, John and Peter, all that's in there. Trying to get the order of all that is interesting. To his disciples collectively there towards the afternoon or even the evening, he appeared to them all, and he said, be not afraid, because he had risen from the dead. And you know what he did the next week? He did the same thing. He appeared to them on that first day of the week. And as our brethren write, if we go and we take a look at the Greek, if you take a look there in the references that say in our King James translation, you take a look at those first day of the week, in the Greek it says first Sabbath. It was important to the disciples, to the apostles, to the followers of Christ. That day became important unto them. And because of that, you and I, as Gentiles, nigh thousands of years away from that those events, meet here together this morning because of the resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ. And he showed himself to his church first. And so we're glad for that, aren't we? Certainly, if the Lord Jesus Christ hadn't risen from the dead, our gospel, the gospel by which we hold to, claim, and trust and believe in, would be null. It would be empty. It would be vain. Paul writes that our preaching would be vain, our faith would be vain. But because of the resurrection, it's the icing on top of the wonderful work of the Lord Jesus to redeem his people. And the resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ is what brings us together every Sunday, every first day of the week. So maybe you didn't know about that, and maybe you might have somebody that you'll run into in life that you need to tell them why it is that we meet on the first day of the week. Still, the principle one of seven is held to. But rather than putting the Lord last, as it is with Christ, he being preeminent before first place, we put the Lord first in the week. And what a wondrous, wondrous thing the resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ is. And so I invite you this morning to take a look at the Gospel of John, John chapter 11. We'll read two verses here. We'll come back to them. And just want to, with this message, we want to be encouraged as the Lord's people and reminded of some things maybe that we've forgotten. And if you're here and you're not saved, I pray that the Lord will challenge you about the things that are written right here in the Lord's book. In John 11, Jesus has come to Mary and Martha. Their brother Lazarus has died. And Martha is there with the Lord, seemingly as he's coming into town or coming there through the village, the town, city that they where they lived, heading towards a destination that we'll see. And in verse number 25 of John 11, the Lord Jesus says unto Martha and to you and me today, I am the resurrection. And let that sink down in our ears and hearts. Jesus says, I am the resurrection. And he is. He's the resurrection and the life. He that believeth in me, though he were dead, yet shall he live. If I said that to you, you would think I was a nut. And I would be, because how can I back up such words like that? Tell me a man that can back up such words like that. There's only one. And he indeed has, hadn't he? He says, he that believeth in me, though he were dead, yet shall he live. And whosoever liveth and believeth in me shall never die. And then he's got this at the end, this question. Believest thou this? Do you? Do you believe that? I mean, do you believe that for yourself and the Lord Jesus Christ? Believest thou this? The Lord Jesus and his ministry, oh, what a wonder it would be to see it. And we see it through the scripture, but, you know, it's good for us to read and to meditate and think. There's some things, people being people, we understand about the reactions of people and how people are. People today are no different than they were in that day. It's good to meditate on the Word of God and just slow down as we read it and think about it. I invite you to turn over here to Luke chapter 7. And there's some things that the Scripture tells us that show indeed this fact where Jesus says, that proves what he said, I am the resurrection and the life. In Luke chapter 7, we see here as the Lord is ministering in verse number 11, in this chapter, in verse number 1, now when he had ended all these sayings in the audience of the people, he entered into Capernaum, it's that city north of the Sea of Galilee. Comes to verse number 11, and it came to pass the day after that he went into a city called Nain, and many of his disciples went with him, and much people. Now when he had came nigh to the gate of the city, behold, there was a dead man carried out, the only son of his mother, and she was a widow, and much people of the city was with her. And when the Lord saw her, he had compassion on her, and said unto her, Weep not. And he came and touched the bier, and they that bare him stood still, and he said, Young man, I say unto thee, arise. And he that was dead sat up and began to speak. Don't you wonder what he was saying? I kind of figure what's going on is probably the first thing, right? And he delivered him to his mother, Jesus did. And there came a fear on all, and they glorified God, saying that a great prophet is risen up among us, and that God had visited his people. Verse 17. And this rumor of him went forth throughout all Judea and throughout all the region round about. And well, it should, huh? Well, it would. This man had died. We perceive him to be, we were told he's a young man. She's the only son of this woman. And Jesus is coming to this little town of Nain right on time. Well, that was lucky, wasn't it? No, it was right on time with the Lord. And so this man had probably no doubt died that day, maybe the day before, but probably not any more than that. And as Jesus is coming into town, they're carrying him. They've got the pallbearers carrying him on the stretcher, the bier. And they're going to take him out and bury him. He's minutes away from being buried. They know he's dead. That's the reason they're going to bury him. And the sorrow of the mother is great. Her expectation for life going forward with her young son having died. It says here that that she's a widow, so she has no husband. She has no man. So not only in the death of her child, the death of her only son, but also her future is there before her. And by the grief and everything that's at hand, and what the Lord sees and sees her, he has compassion. I tell you what, I love that, don't you? That the Lord is compassionate. He's pitiful unto us, unto her. And he says, you can stop crying. Don't cry. And he came and touched the bier, verse 14. And they that bare him, they stopped when he touched it. He expressed in that he's going to do something. And he said, Young man, I say unto thee, arise. And you know what happened? The fella sat up, starts talking, and whether they put the beer down or the Lord just helped him down off of it while they had it there on their shoulders, or maybe they're hanging it down from their hands, he takes him and presents him to his mother. Indeed, our Lord Jesus is the resurrection and the life. This man has not been dead long, but he was dead, and the Lord brought him back to life. We come over here to Luke 8, and we pick it up in verse 41. And behold, there came a man named Jairus, and he was ruler of the synagogue, and fell down at Jesus' feet and besought him that he would come into his house. And so we see and believe that Jesus is back at Capernaum. And the reason that this man, a ruler of the synagogue, so he's a leader, he operates and runs the synagogue there in Capernaum. He says the reason for this was in verse 42, because he had one only daughter, about 12 years of age, and she lay a dying. And as he went, the people thronged him. And we know this account here intermixed with this. This man comes and pleads with the Lord to come and deal and heal his daughter. And the woman with the issue of blood, the same amount of years as the child was old, she has this thought regarding Jesus. And a woman having an issue of blood 12 years, which has spent all her living upon physicians, neither could be healed by any, came behind him and touched the border of his garment. And immediately her issue of blood staunched. And Jesus said, "Who touched me?" And when all denied, Peter and they that were with him said, "Master, the multitude throng me and press thee. And sayest thou, who touched me?" I mean, they're just, everybody's touching him. But not like that woman did. And Jesus said, "Somebody hath touched me, for I perceive virtue," or power, "that power is gone out of me." And when the woman saw that she was not hid, she came trembling, falling down before him. She declared unto him before all the people for what cause she had touched him. "I wanted to be healed, and I knew if I could touch the hem of your garment, I could be." And how she was healed immediately. And he said unto her, "Daughter, be of good comfort. Thy faith in me hath made thee whole. Go in peace." While he yet spake, there cometh one from the ruler of the synagogue's house, saying to him, "Thy daughter is dead. Trouble not the master." It's too late. You got held up too much with all the throng of people. We didn't start early enough in getting to Jesus, or he was just delayed, too much delayed coming back from where he was before. It's too late. It's just too late. And when Jesus heard it, he answered him, saying to Jairus, "Fear not, believe only, and she shall be made whole." Now, how would you and I feel? What would you and I think about a statement like that? Jairus knew that the Lord could heal her. He had great confidence in that, but he knew that time was of the essence. Got to get him to her before time runs out. But had he thought about the ability and power of the Lord to raise her from the dead? Probably not. But when the Lord heard about this bad news and this impossible situation, he says unto the little girl's father, "Fear not, believe only." Believe in what or in whom? "Believe in me only, and she shall be made whole." And when he came into the house, he suffered no man to go in, save Peter, James, and John, and the father and the mother of the maiden. So everybody else, he runs out. And all wept and bewailed her. And boy, they got on that fast, didn't they? I mean, and we don't know how long it took him to get across Capernaum to get over there to the man's house. But they're weeping and they're sorrowful. And he says unto them, weep not, she is not dead, but sleepeth. And they laughed him to scorn. You know, what a picture that is. They're there weeping and wailing, and as was the custom and the culture of the day, there might even be those that would be hired to come in and do so. Look how quickly they turn. At that word, laughing the Lord to scorn, it was not a chuckle. It was not a snicker. I mean, they bellowed out their laughter and would not stop because this man says, she's not dead, she's just asleep. Now, understand, is Jesus saying that she didn't die? No. He's just given his perspective about death. She is dead. But Jesus, in a way, if you will allow me, Jesus is saying, but to me, that's just like sleep for you. She's just asleep. They laughed him to scorn, knowing that she was dead. I mean, they had put things in front of her nose. They'd listened to her heart. The mother would want confirmation that indeed it was, they were solid and sure that she was dead. And put them all out, save those that were mentioned before. And he took her by the hand and called, saying, "Maid, arise." Brother Mark tells us, he says, "Talithai kumai, damsel, I say unto thee, arise." And you know what happened? And her spirit came again. I don't know about you, but I wonder about the details of all that. We wonder about these things, these miracles that the Lord did regarding those that had died. Because know of assuredly, they did die. Flat line on brain activity, no heart activity, no breathing. They were dead. They died. And her spirit came again. And you know what? She arose straightway. And he commanded to give her some food, some meat. And her parents were astonished. Well, it's what they asked for, wasn't it? For her to be made well. That's so typical of us, isn't it? We ask, and then we're surprised when the Lord does something. Or we're surprised when the Lord does something in a way different than we thought ought to be the way that he would do it. And they were astonished. Do you reckon that they were glad? Oh, indeed, they were glad. They were rejoicing. But he charged them that they should tell no man what was done. Keep it to yourself. Is Jesus the resurrection and the life? Indeed, he is. This little girl hadn't been dead for long, but indeed she was dead. And the Lord, just like that at his word, just like he created, at his word, she's brought back to life. The young man over there at Nain, just at his word, he's brought back to life. So now we come back to John chapter 11, and we pick it up here with Mary and Martha and the beloved of the Lord and Lazarus. And we read this here, what Jesus says. And so let's back up a little bit and hear what this is all about. Now, a certain man was sick named Lazarus, chapter 11, verse 1. Of Bethany, the town of Mary and her sister Martha. And it was that Mary which anointed the Lord with ointment and wiped his feet with her hair, whose brother Lazarus was sick. Therefore his sister sent unto the Lord, saying, "Lord, behold, he whom thou lovest is sick." They sent word. They sent a messenger. And when Jesus heard that, this news, he said, hang on to this and remember this. This sickness is not unto death, but for the glory of God, that the Son of God might be glorified thereby. So that's the frame for this event. It's not unto permanent death, but it's that the Father would be glorified and the Son glorified also. Now Jesus loved Martha and her sister and Lazarus. And when he had heard, therefore, that he was sick, he abode 2 days still in the same place where he was. Can you imagine being there with the disciples? They got the word. And, I wonder, when they start getting everything together? Because pretty much if they were in the wilderness, in the rough area, they were like camping. And if they were with people that the Lord had ministered to and that were willing to minister to them, they stayed with them. But the Lord made no move to go. They went and stayed at whatever the Lord said. And you kind of wonder if the disciples didn't start getting everything together when they heard the word. But Jesus, in the end, he's not making any move to leave. They stayed right there for two more days, 48 hours or so. Then after that, he said unto his disciples, "Let us go into Judea again." And his disciples say unto him, "Master, the Jews of late sought to stone thee, and goest thither again?" So here we would see that they've got an avoidance to go back to Judea. The threat is upon the Lord to kill him. Jesus answered, "Are there not 12 hours in the day? If any man walk in the day, he stumbleth not, because he seeth the light of this world. But if a man walk in the night, he stumbleth, because there is no light in him. These things said he, and after that he saith unto them, Our friend Lazarus sleepeth, but I go that I may awake him out of sleep." You know, and disciples, they've seen this about the man at Nain. They've seen this about the little girl. But once again, it's a testimony to us about our forgetfulness. They forgot. We forget. They waited. Jesus says, when it's daytime, it's time to do the work of the Lord. At nighttime, it's not the time to do the work of the Lord. You can't see. But now, while I'm here, it's time to do that work. And so he tells them, said, "He's asleep, and I'm going to go wake him up." Then said his disciples, "Lord, if he sleep, he shall do well," because they thought this. "Howbeit Jesus spake of his death, but they thought that he had spoken of taking rest in sleep." And so once again, they didn't remember what the Lord said about the little girl, did they? But we need to remember what the Lord tells us. He said she's asleep. But she was dead. But that didn't stop the Lord in raising her from the dead. And so the same thing is said about Lazarus. Jesus said, "He's dead." Then said Jesus unto them plainly, "Lazarus is dead. And I am glad for your sakes that I was not there, to the intent that you may believe. Nevertheless, let us go unto him." So now it's time. 2 days later on, let's go ahead and go. Then said Thomas, which is called Didymus, unto his fellow disciples, "Let us also go, that we may die with him." And when Jesus came, he found that he had lain in the grave 4 days already. So Thomas has said, "Okay, well, this is it. Let's go on down there. Let's go die with him." And they get there. They arrive. And now Lazarus has been in the grave for 4 days. The man at Nain probably had died at the furthest out the day before. The little girl had just died in those hours. But now Lazarus, he is 4 days dead. What do you think? Oh, it's going to be a challenge, isn't it? Now, Bethany was nigh unto Jerusalem, near, about a mile and a half, 15 furlongs off. And many of the Jews came to Mary and Martha and Mary to comfort them concerning their brother. Word got around, and they came to offer their condolences and their help and that. Then Martha, as soon as she heard that Jesus was coming, went and met him. So the word is coming before the Lord that he's on the way. That's how the throngs and the people were always around the Lord. But Mary sat still in the house. Then said Martha unto Jesus, "Lord, if thou hadst been here, my brother had not died." same kind of thinking as it was with Jairus, wasn't it? If we can get him there in time, he can heal her. Martha says, Lord, if you'd have been here, you could have kept him from dying. But I know that even now, whatsoever thou wilt ask of God, God will give it thee. Jesus saith unto her, thy brother shall rise again. Martha said unto him, I know that he shall rise again in the resurrection at the last day. And you know, it's an interesting point. Evidently, Jesus had been preaching that. He had been teaching that. There was an expectation, even of those things in the Old Testament, that it was very clear that there would be a resurrection of the Lord's people. And so she held on to that. I know I'll see him in the resurrection. Jesus said unto her, Martha, I am the resurrection, and I am the life. He that believeth in me, though he were dead, yet shall he live. And whosoever liveth and believeth in me shall never die. Believest thou this? She saith unto him, Yea, Lord, I believe that thou art the Christ, the Son of God, which should come into the world. I believe indeed that you're the Savior. And when she had so said, she went her way and called Mary, her sister, secretly. See, that understanding about him being the Savior and being the Messiah, and remember that expectation of the Jews about having a local end-time deliverer from the Roman occupation and restoring Israel to their former glory. That's a thing that is there heavy on them. It's what they've believed. It's what they've known. It's what they've taught. Remember how it is with Jesus. He's telling them plainly about his death, and they don't get about his death and about his resurrection, that needs to be first before the deliverance of the nation. She said, I believe in you. And when she had so said, she went her way and called Mary, her sister, secretly, saying, the Master is come and calleth for thee. And as soon as Mary heard that, she rose quickly and came unto Jesus. Now, Jesus was not yet come into the town, so he's on the outskirts, but was in that place where Martha met him. The Jews then, which were with her in the house and comforted her, when they saw Mary, that she arose up hastily and went out, followed her, saying, she goeth to the grave to weep there. Then when Mary was come where Jesus was and saw him, she fell down at his feet in grief, in respect and honor. Lord, if thou hadst been here, my brother had not died. She had faith to that extent. If you'd have just been on time, if you'd just been on time, I knew that you could heal him and keep him from dying. When Jesus therefore saw her weeping, and the Jews also weeping, which came with her, he groaned in the spirit and was troubled. And as we take a look at this word groaning in the spirit, there's an element of burden with that. There's an element of being upset and angry. There can be an element of internal grief and sorrow. But remember what Jesus said. He said, this sickness is not unto death, but for the glory of God, that the Son of God might be glorified thereby. Jesus knows what he's going to do, doesn't he? He knows exactly what he's going to do. He told the disciples what? Our friend Lazarus sleepeth, but I go that I may awake him out of sleep. And he says, Lazarus is dead, and I'm glad that I wasn't there for your sakes, that you might see, and to the intent that you might believe. So let's go on to him. So what is this grief and this groaning in spirit? Is it the lack of knowledge on Mary and Martha's part about the capability and power of the Lord? Jesus has said, I'm the resurrection. The resurrection is not something out there ooey gooey in the ether, but I am the resurrection. I am the life. You believe in me, he that believeth in me, even though he's dead, he shall live. And whosoever liveth and believeth in me shall never die. Believest thou this? So he groaned in spirit and was troubled, and he said, where have you laid him? Now did the Lord know? He did. They said unto him, Lord, come and see. And we see here that Jesus weeps. Does he weep because of the death of Lazarus? I wonder about that, but I tell you what, I think that the Lord indeed weeps about the impact and the effect of sin upon his own. What sin has done to us, the corruption that comes upon us as we physically die, and that just the awfulness and the unstoppableness of death that comes upon mankind. The unbelief on the part of even these that he loves very, very dearly, and those there in that town, and we'll see what they have to say here. If they would just believe in me. What is it that Jesus said to Jairus? He says, just believe in me, and she'll be okay. Then said the Jews, behold how he loved him. Well, yes, he loves Lazarus. But always understand that Jesus is looking at the big picture. And some of them said, could not this man, which opened the eyes of the blind, have caused even this man, should not have died? Jesus, therefore, again groaning himself, so he heard that too, cometh to the grave. It was a cave, and a stone lay on it. And he said, take ye away the stone. Martha, the sister of him that was dead, said unto him, and here's proof of their lack of faith in the Lord to this end, Lord, by this time he stinketh, for he's been dead 4 days. He said, it's not going to be good to roll that stone away. Jesus saith unto her, said I not unto thee that if thou wouldest believe, thou shouldest see the glory of God? Didn't I tell you that? And they took away the stone from the place where the dead were laid. And Jesus lifted up his eyes and says, Father, I thank thee that thou hast heard me. And I knew that thou hearest me always. But because of the people which stand by, I said it. Why? That they may believe that thou hast sent me. This is the glorification of the Lord that he spoke about earlier. And when he had thus spoken, he cried with a loud voice, Lazarus, come forth. And he that was dead came forth, bound hand and foot with grave clothes, and his face was bound about with a napkin. Jesus saith unto them, loose him and let him go. And many of the Jews which came to Mary, and who had seen the things which Jesus did, believed on him. So here, Lazarus being dead 4 days, that was no trouble for the Lord either, was it? Because he's the resurrection and the life. Well, what is it that we see that the Lord does? You know, this work of the Lord and this way of the Lord doesn't cease. It continues on. He raised the young man at Nain, just being dead maybe a day. He raised the little girl, just being dead hours. He raised Brother Lazarus, being dead 4 days. But you know what? That doesn't top what the Lord Jesus Christ has done. Because we take a look in John chapter 19, and we see this. In verse number 30, our Lord Jesus is on the cross. When Jesus therefore had received the vinegar, he said, it is finished. And he bowed his head and gave up the ghost. In Matthew chapter 27, verse 50, it says there, when Jesus, when he had cried with a loud voice, yielded up the ghost. And Brother Mark accounts in Mark 15, verse 37, and Jesus cried with a loud voice and gave up the ghost, verse 39, and when the centurion which stood over against him saw that he cried out and gave up the ghost, he said, truly, this man was the Son of God. See, when Jesus cried, it is finished, and as it says in Luke chapter 23, verse 46, He cried with a loud voice, which is impossible for anybody being crucified the way that he was. But in command, a voice with power and with strength, he cried and said, "Father, into thy hands I commend my spirit." Having said thus, he gave up the ghost. So our Lord Jesus Christ himself died on Calvary's tree. He died there, but he died under control. And you know what he did? Well, let's take a look at Matthew chapter 28. In Matthew chapter 28, it tells us here something wonderful. In the end of the Sabbath, as it began to dawn towards the first day of the week, came Mary Magdalene and the other Mary to see the sepulchre of Jesus. And behold, there was a great earthquake, a shaking. For the angel of the Lord descended from heaven and came and rolled back the stone from the door and sat upon it. And the angel's countenance was like lightning and his raiment white as snow. And for fear of him, the keepers did shake and became as dead men. Remember that Roman guard appointed by the Jews and Pilate? And the angel answered and said unto the woman, fear not ye, for I know that ye seek Jesus, which was crucified. He is not here. For he is risen, as he said, come see the place where the Lord lay. You know what he did? He was dead for 3 days and three nights, and he took his life back. You know, it's one thing to have the power to bring a man that's being carried to burial back to life. I mean, we marvel at the ability to do that. It's one thing to take a little girl that had just been dead for hours and bring her back from the dead. You know, it's almost ridiculous for me to speak that way. And then, I mean, it's something. Indeed, it is something. It's another thing for the Lord to take a man who was decaying, who was bound by rigor mortis and all those things, those natural processes, dead for 4 days, and raise him from the dead. But you know what our Lord Jesus did? He raised himself from the dead. A Savior that can revive himself from the dead. And the angels testified, come see where he was laying. And go quickly and tell his disciples that he is risen from the dead. And behold, he goeth before you into Galilee. There shall ye see him. Lo, I have told you. You know, this was prophesied. It's told in 1 Corinthians 15 in the gospel, summary of the gospel in that resurrection chapter, that he was buried and rose again the third day according to the scriptures. The psalmist declares about it, where he says in Psalm 16, for thou wilt not leave my soul in hell, neither will thou suffer thine holy one to see corruption. That's how we know that the Lord Jesus, that there was no decomposition or rigor mortis with him. How in Isaiah 53, it says that he poured out his soul unto death, and he was slain like a lamb before the slaughter. But it tells there in the latter part of Isaiah 53 that he will be victorious and extolled by God and glorified by God as one that lives, because he does live. We see in Hosea chapter 6, where there it's declared, and after 2 days will he revive us, and in the third day he will raise us up, that we shall live in his sight. And that's speaking about the nation of Israel. That's speaking about those that were being spoken to by the prophet. But the shadow and the type is there that Christ is alive forevermore. And what about this in Jonah? Jonah chapter 1, verse number 17. Now the Lord had appeared and prepared a great fish to swallow Jonah. And Jonah was in the belly of the fish 3 days and three nights. And that was a shadow and a showing forth about Christ himself. It was prophesied that he would do so. And you know what? He did. He did. You remember what it says here about this earthquake? Listen to what it says in Matthew chapter 27, just the chapter before. You can read there in verse number 51. And behold, when Jesus declared these things on the cross, it is finished. And Father, into thy hands I commend my spirit. It says, "And behold, the veil of the temple was rent in twain from the top to the bottom. And the earth did quake then too. And the earth did quake here at the resurrection of the Lord," as we read in chapter 28. "And the graves, and the earth did quake, and the rocks were torn, and the graves were opened. And many bodies of the saints which slept arose and came out of the graves after his resurrection." The power of the resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ. It says there, "And they went into the holy city and appeared unto many." When Jesus rose from the dead, those in graves of the saints there around where he was buried, they rose too. The Lord shook things like had never been shaken before. And the Lord rose from the dead, and those saints in that radius around where he was, where he had been buried, they rose and they went into the city and were seen by people that knew them. Jesus is indeed the resurrection. And you know what? He did that because he is life, and death could not hold him down. But you know what? He did that for his people. As it says in 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verses 14 and 15, "For the love of Christ constraineth us, because we thus judge, that if one died for all, then we're all dead," and that's the truth, "and that he died for all, they which live should not henceforth live unto themselves. We're not our own, we're bought with a price." Listen to this. "But live unto him which died for them and rose again." He did take his life back again. And he did that because he is life. He had to deal with death for our sakes. He's going to be the victor and conqueror of all, including death, including sin. And in that, doing that and taking care of those things that are against God and against his way, he rose from the dead because he is life, if you will, for himself, for his majesty, his power, his greatness, but he did so also for us. Jesus is the resurrection. Jesus is the Savior unto life. And you know what? As it says in 1 Thessalonians, let's read here. 1 Thessalonians. "Because he lives, we will live." 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, verse number 13. "But I would not have you to be ignorant, brethren, concerning them which are asleep." You see that reference there, like the Lord Jesus? Now the apostles get it, don't they? Now we understand the language of the Lord, because death to him is indeed sleep. It's like sleep is to you and me. "That you sorrow not, even as others which have no hope. For if we believe that Jesus died and rose again, even so them also which sleep in Jesus will God bring with him, all the saints that have died and gone before. For this we say unto you by the word of the Lord, that we which are alive and remain unto the coming of the Lord shall not prevent or go before them which are asleep. For the Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout, and with the voice of the archangel, and with the trump of God, and the dead in Christ shall rise first," just like we read there in Matthew. "Then we which are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air, and so shall we ever be with the Lord. Wherefore comfort one another with these words." You know what? Because Jesus is the resurrection and the life. If we believe that Jesus died and rose again, even so them also which sleep in Jesus will God bring with him. Jesus is the resurrection. Jesus says unto us, "I am the resurrection, and I am the life. He that believeth in me, though he were dead, even if you die, yet shall he live. And whosoever liveth and believeth in me shall never die." Speaking about that second death. Shall never die. Believest thou this? Do you believe that? you're here and you're not saved, our prayer is that you would believe that. Believe in the Lord Jesus and what he has done.